Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, my big thanks to my co-host this entire afternoon, Matt Rothschild. He's got that fine podcast, Wisconsin Forward. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts, but of course at civicmedia.us. We have been talking about, with you, with each other, trying to process what in the hell has been going on? The deployment, the idea that active duty military, not just National Guards men and women, but active duty military are being moved, stationed into Los Angeles, Marines, potentially over a battalion's worth. That's 700 plus Marines to respond to protesters. Wow. And all of this in part being, of course, incited by the Trump administration, this escalation intentional, I think one could argue, as massive protests mobilize across the country in response to mass deportation and immigration raids. Not as Donald Trump promised, we're going to go get the bad guys and the murderers and the people that are destroying property and are really striking hearts, fear into the hearts of regular Americans. No, they're not picking up the murderers and the bad guys. They're picking up grandmas and people that have been working here for 25 years and their kids. And that's what's going on. Thousands of protests. And specifically on Friday, the leader of SEIU in California, a gentleman by the name of David Huerta, was apparently like beaten down by federal law enforcement. And he has been in custody ever since. So, again, everything seeming to be escalating thanks to the Trump administration. But all of this exists in the larger context of U.S. immigration law. And I think most of us generally understand things aren't working particularly well lately, but we may not know why exactly that is. So Matt and I are extremely grateful to be joined by just the person to help us understand that, Erin Murphy Barbato. She is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Erin, thanks so much for making time and helping us all understand what's going on.
Thanks so much for having me, and I hope I can help us understand what's going on.
Well, give it a good college try, I guess, pun or law school try, right, together. Let me just start very seriously, just like Matt and I, just like all of our listeners watching the news over the weekend, extraordinarily shocking developments. Your reactions on the deployment of the National Guard troops, on this seeming escalation of conflict between the administration and those that disagree with its policies.
Right. I mean, it is shocking, but I can't say I'm not surprised. It seems to be part of a scheme of this administration to certainly invoke drama and bring a highlight to people that are in opposition to ICE and some of the more extremely aggressive tactics that they're doing within our communities. And I think, you know, general population is not prepared to see people being ripped from their homes or from their children. And that's what's starting to happen. And also the power of the state versus the federal government, we're seeing that happen as well. And I can't say we were surprised that that would happen between, you know, President Trump and the governor of California.
Yeah, it seems that he is quite eager when it comes to, quote, blue states or blue cities. Let me start with this term, Erin, because it gets bandied about a bunch and no one knows what it means, if anything, in particular. And that is the term sanctuary cities. Is there such a thing as defined in federal law or state law somewhere? Because I've looked and I can't find a legal definition anywhere for that.
No, Maggie, you're correct. There is no, you know, legal definition of what a sanctuary city is. And certain cities may have, you know, sanctuary policies. Madison often is described as, where I live, a place where there are sanctuary policies, but not necessarily a sanctuary city. But then you look at, you know, LA, California, a lot of the bigger liberal cities will find themselves categorized as sanctuary cities and then targeted by certain people or found to be more safe by certain people. But it's often describing the amount of compliance that local law enforcement will have with immigration customs enforcement, you know, the immigration police. And certain places in Wisconsin have very strong bonds and strong 287G agreements where they work directly together. Madison doesn't have that, but there's a number of places that do have that in Wisconsin. So 287G is defined in the Immigration and Nationality Act, but what a sanctuary city is, it depends on what the person, how they interpret it.
Well, and at a very high level, and then Matt, I'll ask you to jump in if you've got questions. At a very high level, one of the things that I try to point out to folks with some degree of regularity is that it used to be a sort of battle cry of conservatives, that states' rights, and this reliance on the 10th Amendment. And one of the things that people have to keep in mind here, aside from the fact that states' rights was simply a dog whistle to all sorts of Jim Crow-style racist, oppressive regimes, was that at the root of it, the idea of the 10th Amendment was that federal government could not effectively take over the apparatuses of state and local government for the purposes of executing federal law. Well, immigration law is federal law, and so if an immigration official says to a local law enforcement official, I don't know, say like a sheriff, and says, you must keep Juan Ramos or Jane Smith or whomever the heck it is in custody until I can get there and figure out if this is someone who's there illegally, that is not permitted under our constitutional order. They cannot compel local law enforcement to hold on to people longer than the state law or state constitutional basis allows for their detainer. Am I getting that mostly right, Erin?
No, I think you're getting it all right based on what my experience is, my understanding is. And I think when you look at that, 48-hour ICE detainer and whether local officials, sheriff's offices are willing to hold someone past that, we've seen a number of conservative sheriffs say, I cannot do that. It is against the law and I'm not going to break the law. So there's a lot of misinformation, I think, that the public is understanding or not understanding in these situations.
Professor Barbato, you're director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. And so you give advice to law students and to clients, I imagine, about how to handle immigration proceedings. It's getting really dicey right now. So I'm just wondering, what advice are you giving to clients or students who are dealing with clients when these clients have an appointment with ICE on their citizenship status? Because some of those folks are getting grabbed by ICE when they walk into the courtroom door. So doesn't that make your job difficult? And how do you counsel people?
You know, it has made my job has always been difficult. Immigration lawyering has never been easy. Teaching law students how to practice immigration or about immigration has never been easy. But practicing it right now, I do worry more than ever about not just our clients or the people we're serving, but about the safety of my students and their mental health as well. We're seeing families torn apart even beyond what we saw under the zero tolerance policy. You know, just today we're talking to a family, a father is going to be deported. 5 U.S. citizen children are going to be left here without their father, but mostly without financial support. You know, and how do I explain that there's nothing else we can do, right? That's really hard. But in terms of preparing for a lot of people we represent are actually in detention. So in the Dodge County Detention Center, they have to show up for court. That's where they are. They're not going to be placed in a more dangerous position because of that. But now that people are being arrested in immigration court and also criminal courts, we really have to be prepared for the idea that they may not be coming out of them. So we're preparing them for the deportation. How is your family going to survive without your mom? Where are these children going to go? Are you going to take the children with you? You know, a re-entry process. It's changed substantially in such a short amount of time that we're not necessarily prepared to do it, but we're doing our best to provide some sort of access to justice and some sort of due process.
Those must be heartbreaking conversations to have with clients, though.
It's beyond. And I've been doing this for 20 years. This is not easy. It's especially not easy telling someone who's gotten to know a client so well that they're going to be deported without being able to access the benefits or the relief that they may be eligible for, but that doesn't mean we'll give up on them. It just means we may be representing them while they're in another country.
Can you, this is what I wanted to get to. I did a substantial amount of pro bono asylum work when I was baby lawyer. Boy, is that complicated. And I was hoping that you could explain to people as a threshold matter, and we may need to bridge into the next segment, and we will. What's someone who may be eligible for asylum versus someone granted asylum? Are there different types of asylum? What does it mean to be a refugee? Is that a different thing? And what happens if someone comes here illegally? Is there any way to get themselves back into legal resident status, or how is that supposed to work?
So I will try to explain this, but this takes me like a semester to explain to.
Oh, so just boil it down in about, give or take 2 minutes, Erin.
We'll see how good I am at teaching this. But the first thing I would explain is the difference between a refugee and an asylee. So someone who enters the United States as a refugee, which is on pause right now, they have been defined as a refugee and found to be a refugee by the United Nations. And once the United Nations finds that, then they look for a country to house them. So a refugee is someone who has a fear of persecution or has been persecuted in their home country based on their race, nationality, membership in a particular social group, religion, or
gender, probably.
That falls into a particular social group. And that's what a lot of, someone who's transgender who can't return to their home country, or someone, if they're a member of a family that is persecuted by the government, something like that. But someone who's seeking asylum needs to prove that in the United States. And so when we look at, I do a lot of work across the Americas and the route that people take to get to the southern border, people are coming to the southern border because they can't get refugee status in the Americas outside of the U.S. I don't know if that makes sense. So the southern border has become this hotspot for people seeking refuge. And they have to prove that in our system, whether it's to an immigration judge or an asylum officer with U.S. Department of Homeland Security. But one of the major reasons why our southern border has become a hotspot is because the only place people can apply for it.
Because the United States is one of the only nations where you can apply for asylum.
Right.
Is it
you can apply in other countries,
yes,
but we don't have United Nations processing people in America. So they can't stay in their home country or a neighboring country and then come to the U.S. They have to get to the border of the U.S. or inside at an airport, a port of entry.
Understood. Folks, we've got Erin Murphy Barbato. She is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. We're talking about the different types of status in this country and how challenging it is to get your case heard, to provide the requisite proof if you are trying to make an asylum claim, and what to do if you're here already illegally. There's so much to get through. She's going to stick around. So is Matt Rothschild, my excellent co-host. This 2-hour show, an edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. So keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. More in just a moment.